You're with Cape Talk.
Whistleblowing is one of the mechanisms used to deter corruption, and it plays a role in encouraging accountability, transparency, and high standards of governance in sort of both the public as well as private institutions. And it goes without saying that whistleblowers are key to fighting corruption, especially in South Africa. And we look at the back of the Zondo Commission, but choosing to speak out shouldn't be at anyone's peril. And as it stands, South Africa's corporate whistleblowers don't get enough protection in this country. So what needs to change? Professor Rihanna Kasim, professor in company law at UNISA, joins me on the line this morning. Professor, a very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Professor, why is it that corporate misconduct is difficult to detect and to prove? And, you know, what is considered wrongdoing is, and when is it in breach of the Companies Act?
Well, corporate misconduct is not generally done in the open, but it's often hidden by a complicated web of transaction or misleading corporate records or convoluted company group structures. And this is the reason why corporate whistleblowers, whose positions give them an inside track on misconduct, are so important in exposing corporate crime and corruption. So when we talk about wrongdoing in relation to corporate whistleblowers, we're talking about specific categories of wrongdoing that if whistleblowers report on this, they will receive certain protections under the Companies Act. And the wrongdoing is defined quite broadly. For example, it could relate to breaches of the Companies Act, any sort of breaches of the Companies Act, or even breaches of any other legislation, or any act that endanger the health and safety of a person, or harm the environment, or unfair discrimination. So any of those acts which whistleblowers might report on will gain them some protections under the Companies Act.
Professor, you've done some research into the protection of corporate whistleblowers in South Africa compared to the sort of international jurisdictions such as Australia and other countries. Where are we lagging behind, and what are the challenges for this country to protect our whistleblowers? Because if we look at Babita Deokaran, who had to pay for it with her life, and then, of course, a number of other whistleblowers who had to, for a while, flee the country when they came out with their stories. Why are we not protecting our whistleblowers enough? Is this ultra motives in terms of the political scenario in the country?
I think you raise a very good point when you mentioned the high level of victimization of whistleblowers. I mean, for it to go so far as assassinating whistleblowers and requiring them to flee the country just shows that our protection is so low and that the rate of victimization is just so high. And I think that's exactly what it is. We don't protect whistleblowers in South Africa as much compared to other countries. And whistleblowers in South Africa are also very fearful of being victimized and fearful of losing their jobs. And so we find that there are low levels of reports of wrongdoing, despite the very high levels of corporate corruption. And maybe, you know, we didn't in the past have needed such high levels of protection. But if you look at our current situation, we definitely need to step up the levels of protection. And overseas countries such as Australia protect their whistleblowers to a far greater extent than we do in South Africa. And I think that we do need to work on enhancing our legislation and building much stronger protections.
Chatting this morning to Professor Rihanna Kasim, and she's professor in company law at UNISA, and we're chatting about whistleblowers and the fact that we don't offer in this country enough protection for whistleblowers. What do we offer whistleblowers in the country? Because, you know, a number of people stand up and a number of people voice their opinions and a number of people become whistleblowers because of their personal conviction, because they believe this is the correct thing to do, and they cannot see corruption going on, and especially corruption at a very high corporate level or a very, very high level in government. What are we offering these people at the moment, and why is it so insufficient?
Well, the Companies Act gives whistleblowers three protections. The first is that they get qualified privilege for their disclosure of wrongdoing. Qualified privilege means they cannot be sued for defamation for what they said unless they acted with malice or an improper motive. So if they did something maliciously, they can be sued for defamation, but otherwise not. The second protection is that they are immune from civil, criminal, or administrative liability for their disclosure. This means that they're protected from liability for making the disclosure of wrongdoing. So, for example, if a contract says they may not disclose certain things because of confidentiality, but they do that, then they cannot be sued under that contract. But they are not immune from liability for their own conduct that may have been revealed by the disclosure. So if they disclose something and they also played a role in it, then they can be prosecuted criminally or sued civilly. And the third protection is that they can claim compensation for any damages they suffer if anyone harms them or threatens to harm them. So again, this is civil, and basically it will give them damages if someone harms them or threatens to harm them. Those are the three protections given under the Companies Act.
And if we look at Athol Williams, for instance, I mean, he came out and, you know, there was quite an extensive investigation, and eventually Athol Williams fled the country. And we're chatting this morning to Professor Rihanna Kasim about whistleblowers and the protection of whistleblowers. Your thoughts this morning, Professor, on paying an incentive to those that blow the whistle. Isn't there a concern about the ethics of this?
Yes, there certainly is a concern about the ethics of it. It is controversial, it raises moral concerns, and it may also encourage false reports. But I do think that in South Africa especially, the benefits of financial rewards may outweigh the misgivings about it. And you can also build in certain safeguards to protect against malicious reporting, which is done, for example, in the USA, where if an incentive system is used very, very successfully, what they do in the USA is they give whistleblowers between 15 and 30% of the proceeds of the action or settlement, depending on the quality of information provided or the extent to which they contributed to the prosecution action. And 3 years ago in the USA, they found that 72% of fraud recoveries were triggered by whistleblower disclosures. And what they do is that if a whistleblower does make a false or malicious report, they open themselves up to prosecution. So there is that safeguard that can be built in. And I think that financial incentives may reduce the financial risk faced by whistleblowers because, you know, as we've seen in South Africa, they often lose their job. And often it costs them a lot of money just to make the disclosure. So this will actually generally offset the cost that they incur.
Yeah. Because if you do become a whistleblower in an organization, you tend to lose your job, and you probably need to live with your family, and you need to have some kind of income for at least maybe 3 to 6 months. And chatting this morning to Professor Rihanna Kasim about whistleblowing, also you believe that you know, protections to whistleblowers need to be broadened and strengthened. Talk to us about those issues.
Well, the first thing I think that needs to be done is that South Africa's whistleblower regulation framework of regulation, it's very scattered. We have a patchwork of statutes regulating whistleblowing. For example, the Companies Act regulates whistleblowing, and the Protected Disclosures Act, which is also a very key act. Both of them will govern whistleblowing by employees. So it's confusing for employees. They need to consult with both acts, and the protections under each act are different. We also have the Labor Relations Act, the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act, and the National Environmental Management Act, to name just a few. And I think this makes it complicated. We should just have one consolidated legislative framework. And this is precisely what Australia did. They consolidated all their patchwork of legislation. So there's just one framework which makes the law more clear, consistent, and accessible. But other protections I think that we should do is that when a whistleblower leaves the company, they no longer have protection, any protection at all. And so they are unlikely to disclose any wrongdoing. And I think that we should give them protection for at least 3 years to encourage them to disclose wrongdoing. And in this time, any evidence will still be accessible. I also think that victimization should be a criminal offense under the Companies Act. We should also allow whistleblowers to claim compensation from persons who harm them, not only physically, but also psychologically. As you know, whistleblowers have reported suffering panic attacks, depression, being ostracized, etc. So they should also get compensation for that. And very importantly in South Africa, that it's vital to provide physical protection to whistleblowers. Once the identity is disclosed, they must receive physical protection.
Professor Rihanna Kasim chatting to us, the professor at Company Law. And this morning we think of Themba Maseko, Cynthia Stimple, Athol Williams, Bianca Goodson, and more so we remember the whistleblower Babita Deokaran. May she rest in peace.